Welcome once again to Live from My Office. Hi, I'm Steve Cochran. I'm glad you're here, but I'm always glad you're here. It gets lonely here in the office. There's even a bit of an echo. See what I mean? All right, so today on Live from My Office, we're going to be talking with my friend Paul Coit, the ambassador for this show to London. He is our European expert because, you know, he's my best friend from Europe. And he knows things. Not necessarily the things we talk about, but he knows stuff. And today we're going to talk about the fact that the Brits have been given the green light to go back to hugging. It's an actual story there. And I will give you the details when we speak with Paul here in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, look, we had some great news as well here, and that is you don't have to wear a mask anymore if you're fully vaccinated. The CDC announced that fully vaccinated Americans no longer have to wear masks indoors or outdoors, including in crowds, as long as they're fully vaccinated. Now, what does that mean? Well, you're on the honor system, aren't you? Because unless you're in the position where you have, an employer or a venue where you would need to show your card proving that you've been vaccinated, and obviously there's a bunch of legal talk about that, it behooves you to do the right thing. And, you know, I don't use the word behoove very often or correctly. So let's do the right thing. Let's be smart about this. If you're still uncomfortable about it and you want to wear the mask, wear the mask. But the good news is the CDC says physical distancing, mask wearing, thanks to the fact that we've had as many people vaccinated as we have and the numbers have dropped, we're all good. Just in time for a great summer, the summer you deserve after the year plus, what, 2 or 3 months that we've had. Now, the new recommendation has exceptions for buses and planes and hospitals and prisons and homeless shelters. Also will have significant implications for schools and businesses as the country starts to reopen. The thing that needs to be remembered here is we don't want this to come back in any form. I've already heard people, you know, that are symbolically wringing their hands and talking about the need for a booster shot. If we have to have a booster shot in the fall, so what? The fact that the booster shot would exist is a miracle. And the fact that we have it at our disposal, well, you just can't say enough for the people that have delivered on every level. And, you know, symbolically, it all goes back to Dr. Fauci, but Fauci is proven himself to be the kind of guy who credits everyone in the chain that has gotten this done on the front line. So congratulations to all the folks that have taken care of us. And now congratulations and high fives to us. And yes, you can actually high five somebody. Go ahead and high five somebody you're with right now. The guidance that came about just, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago suggested masks should still be worn. But if you are 2 weeks beyond your final shot, you're good to go, or in the case of the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine, 2 weeks beyond that. The decision, when it was announced, the CDC pointed to additional data from the last few weeks that shows the vaccines work in the real world. And in the last 2 weeks, this is a CDC quote from the director, the cases in this country have dropped by a third. In the last 2 weeks, we've had increasing available vaccine, and we're now able to vaccinate people between the ages of 12 and 15. And there is a coalescence of more science that has emerged just in the last week to take care of the areas of concern that we may have had. Look, people, this is good news. Don't spend your time watching Fox or MSNBC, for that matter, to get the far right and the far left view. You remember what I say is the head of the 60, the rest of us who are in the middle, we want the right thing for everybody. And the right thing now is be honest. And if you've been vaccinated and you choose not to wear a mask, you can still do it. But to choose not to wear a mask, you're good to go. Congratulations. We're not out of the woods yet, but we can see the clearing from here. Thank you for listening to Live from My Office, wherever you listen. And please subscribe, rate, and review. Tell your friends and download it for your mom or your dad or your uncle or your aunt or your grandparents or anybody else that is unsure how to get a podcast in this brave new world of what I like to call Radio 2021. On this show, as I said, Paul Coit will join us shortly. You can drop me an email anytime at thecochranshow@gmail.com, and I hope you will. And we'll move on. thanks to our friend David Hochberg and Team Hochberg. David Hochberg just wants to save you some money. Team Hochberg, they just want to save you some money. And David Hochberg has some very important information to bring to you, which will be up this weekend as a special weekend podcast where Hochberg talks about his business of refinancing homes, mortgages and the like, and what you ought to do right now if you're considering selling your house. So we'll put that up this weekend. In the meantime, how many times have I said in the meantime? We should probably go back and count. But in the meantime, let's do this. We'll take that break. We'll come back. And we will talk to Paul Coit right after this on Live from My Office. The title sponsor of Live from My Office is David Hochberg and Team Hochberg, part of Homeside Financial. You can buy a home or refinance at 855-563-2843. That's 855-56-DAVID, or go to 56david.com. When you go to the website, you can request a free quote right there. And I can tell you, from knowing how they do their business, your job gets a whole lot easier. Just go through that extra step, get them the documents they need, and they will deliver money, as in savings, to you in a way you didn't think was possible. And there you go. You can check that off your stress list of things you should have done by now. The refinance process with Team Hochberg is as good as it gets. And all the members of Team Hochberg, they just want to save you money. And they do it all the time. They've done it for me and for my family and for people I've worked with through the years. They are what they claim to be. It's David Hochberg, Homeside Financial, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 1124061. This is Live from My Office, and as the world changes and gets back to whatever normal used to be or something reasonably resembling it, the one person I turn to, well, really all the time, and certainly in times of change, is a guy who can explain it all to me. That's my friend Paul Coit, ambassador to all of Europe and the rest of the world. And he's live in London as I'm live from my office. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. And how are you?
I'm also very good. Thank you very much. How many jabs you had? Are you two or are you one now? How many had?
How many shots? Well, I'm done. I'm immune.
Oh, yeah, you're completely done. That's fantastic news.
What about you?
I've had seven so far.
Have you?
I've had seven. I've tried all of them. I've tried all of them, and I'm hopefully I'm also immune. I thought we were supposed to be ahead of you. Why is that? Why have you managed to have two? And I'm only on one. Because I thought we were the first country in the world, and then everybody was trailing behind, but it doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
I think because of your system of medicine, you get one, but then you get to the back of the line again, right? So you get one, and then 12 years from now, you get the second one or something? Is that how it works?
It's a bit, well, actually, what we do, if you saw Mary Poppins, it's a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. So what we actually need is a spoonful of sugar along with every shot that we have. And that's the problem. We're losing out on sugar. We don't have enough. People are trying to do those sweeteners. And quite frankly, the sweeteners don't help the medicine go down because you taste those on their own. They're disgusting. It doesn't work the same way.
It's funny you mentioned Mary Poppins. We have a family tradition. It's Friday night is family movie night for Abigail Grace, world's greatest granddaughter. I'm sure for Grant's parents that are listening, I'm sure your granddaughter... grandson are cute and adorable. They're not as good as mine. All right. So,
not as good as yours. I know.
So, Mary Poppins was the chosen film a week or so ago. And,
lovely.
And, you know, I'm watching it. And I Dick Van Dyke, tremendous actor, wonderful, nice man.
Yep.
He brilliant. Comes on with that accent that makes you so angry. I have known you for 30 plus years. And the one thing that sets you off like nothing else is Dick Van Dyke's, would it be a Cockney accent attempt? Is that what he's trying to do?
Yeah. That's what he's trying to do. Yeah, he's a Cockney chimney sweep. But I Mary Poppins, you know, it's like, what are you doing? And I think it's only years later that Dick Van Dyke actually said that what he was doing was just trying to make it more accessible for both countries. That's a lie. I mean, I love Dick Van Dyke, but he just could not do a Cockney accent. It was like, just do it in American. You know, right. he did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, as although he was corrected as Potts, a eccentric English inventor, but with an American accent. So maybe then someone had said to him by 1967, listen, Dick, just do it normally, because nobody's going to complain about that. There's more people that are going to complain the fact that you're doing the English accent. So I think that's what he started with. But don't get me wrong, I love him, and I still love him. I've always loved Dick Van Dyke. But it's just the accent is like fingers down a blackboard.
I know, I'm telling you.
I still have that.
For those of you,
I still love the film.
For those of you who have listened to Paul with me for years, he gets viscerally angry. A vein pops out in his forehead. Dick Van Dyke's accent makes him crazy. Now, you're not wrong about the Americanization piece of that, right? Because just the basic English thing, we've seen it with other actors. For instance, a famous Scottish actor who played James Bond, name him.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery doesn't have an ounce of Russian blood in him, does he?
No, everything is like that. The whole, even when he was Russian in the Hunt for Red October.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. In the Hunt for Red October, they brought up the idea of him doing a Russian accent. And you know what he said? Yes. No. he just did and it then, his way.
You know, there was one that he did try, and do you remember The Untouchables? And he was, you want an Oscar for that? I mean, come on. And he was like this Irish, and it was still. Yes, it's still going on exactly the same way. And you know what? I played golf at Sunningdale, very famous golf course,
sure,
in Britain. And I played there, and I was with a caddy. So you've got to have a caddy there, which I don't know if you feel the same way. You're a good golfer, but I find it incredibly intimidating when I've got a caddy there. So I'm just trying to chat to him. So I'm talking about famous members. I'm saying, well, you know, who have you caddied for? And I said, who's the worst? And he went, oh, Sean Connery. And I said, really? He said, yeah, Sean Connery's a nightmare. So what the caddies would do, it's like a scene for Caddyshack. If Connery would turn up, all the caddies would run for cover because they go, I don't want to take
Nobody Connery. Wanted his
don't
bag.
Let me take Connery. He would swear at them. He'd call them this and he'd call that. And if anything went wrong, a bad shot, it was there for. He was a nightmare. So nobody wanted to carry Connery's bag.
Well, listen, I'd heard that about him for years, that he was difficult. I actually never met him or interviewed him. Great actor, obviously, but here's another guy. He won an Oscar, as a matter of fact, for a role in a movie. I think it was called Dad, or was it Father? And, of course, he was with Clarice, where he's a cannibal. Why am I spacing on his name?
Anthony Hopkins.
Thank you. Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins played Richard Nixon. Yeah. One of the most distinguishable character, weird, freaky, dark. Everybody knows what he sounds like. Everybody knows what he looks like.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins plays Nixon in Anthony Hopkins' accent. And everybody goes, oh, he's brilliant. He was Nixon. So yes, Dick Van Dyke should have just done it in English.
Why didn't Dick Van Dyke just play Nixon? That would have been the answer, the dumping,
you
know, Nixon.
That's a better answer.
That would have been it. You know, Chim Chimney, Chim Chin Cheroo. It would have been perfect. And just maybe move Anthony Hopkins over to play in Mary Poppins.
Now, let me ask you this. Does it work the other way? Like, are there American-centered or set films that you could think of, or maybe they were shot there, where you have British actors trying to do an American accent? Because you do a great Absolutely. American accent. Your American accent is great.
Well, I got to tell you that personally, I think it's easier for an English person to do an American than it is the other way around. And it's more commendable if I hear an American doing a very good English accent. It's very, very tricky. But, you know, one of the worst American accents, and I've seen many times, and again, we're talking Oscar winner, is Michael Caine. So Michael Caine, Cider House Rules. Did you ever see that? He won an Oscar for that. And it was like, what is going on? And then you hear him in interviews and he's going, well, yeah, you know, when you do an American accent, you got, you know, it's very tricky. So what I did, I do more of a, I'm doing a very East Coast bastard accent. I'm like, what is that? And he's like, well, yeah, because what you do. And it's like, but surely someone's going to stand up. This is terrible. But the worst one of all, and I remember having to sit through this film. This is like 93, 94. I remember going to it was the somehow I ended up going to the premiere of it. And it was one of the worst films I think I've ever seen. And it was one of your favorite actors, Steven Seagal. And it was some environmental piece of crap. It was just so bad. And it was like, he's like this environmental guy. And I can't even remember too much about it. Michael Caine had this dyed black hair playing this evil American industrialist. And I just remember the accent in that, thinking, what on earth is that? But Phil Hardy, great.
So you actually, just to be clear, you actually saw a Steven Seagal movie and you were more annoyed by Michael Caine.
Yes. Well, I don't even remember what it was called. I'll have to look it up as I'm talking to you. But I don't think I dreamt it, but it's worth seeing because it disappeared without a trace. It's one of the worst films. And it was like, Sam, what was he? It was just like, he was like this renegade environmentalist kung fu king fighting against the big oil barons around the world, and comes out with it. How the hell? But anyway.
1994, the movie was called On Deadly Ground.
On Deadly Ground. There you go.
On Deadly Ground. It got a 12% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Steven Seagal plays a character named Forrest Taft. Well, of course he does. He's putting his considerable talents as a fighter and a marksman to use as a hired gun for the sleazy oil tycoon Michael Jennings, played by Michael Caine.
There you go.
Yes.
It sounds like it went, I think it went directly to VHS, and from VHS it went nowhere. I don't think it was ever released on anything else.
By the way, if you want to see a guy who's not accepting getting older well, take a look at Steven Seagal with his jet black dyed hair and goatee and his gut. It's not going well for him.
There's got to be a point. That's in there. There's got to be a point where you think, you know what? It's over for me. I just got to go with what there is, but clinging hold. I don't know, how do you feel about the plastic surgery thing? You know, it's the pull tight. I've got a theory about that. I'm sure people, they look in the mirror. And I've got to keep my looks. I've got to keep this. But without seeing the crazy cat eyes and the pullback face, all they see is just skin.
Yep.
And I'm not seeing any wrinkles. I look fantastic. Look at the big picture. Just stand back and have a look at yourself. You look like you've been slammed into a wall and pulled back from your neck. I sympathize with why people are doing this because, you know, in their industry and they have to stay beautiful. But really, Steve, they're not, are they?
Really? No, they really aren't. Now the thing about accepting getting older, I may have done it too early because I quit trying at about 30. So, you know, you probably should try a little longer than that.
Okay. 35. Give it till 35, and then we'll go with that.
All right. So in the last year and, what, 2-3 months since March of 2020, we have basically been locked down, shut down. And you've had to give up a lot of things. I did not realize, and even though it wasn't really a law, there was confusion about this, but there are a lot of people in your country and throughout the UK who thought it might even be illegal to give someone a hug. Were you under that assumption as well?
Well, yeah, because the thing is, if you've got social distancing, that obviously involves hugging because you can't hug anybody from 2 meters away or from so many feet away. So you can't do that. Whereas now this hug thing has now turned into something big, and I'm getting a little worried, I've got to be honest with you, because, you know, a lot of Brits don't do the human contact thing very well. You know, we'll wave and we'll shake hands, and shake hands is probably as intimate as people will get together. And now it almost seems like there's pressure. People are going, can hug. And in this day and age, I'm getting worried that there's going to be lawsuits, there's going to be trouble. What's going to happen? You go up and hug people, and it's going to get off me. What are you doing? So I really don't know. I've always been one of these people that has trouble with doing the double kiss, which is
it's a showbiz thing. It's very European, to be honest with you. And we don't need it.
The double kiss, and you go over, and they are nice to see. And then when you get to know someone, then it always, and I've known people, and there's women that I know that I've worked with over the years. You think, you know what? Do I really have to do that? They're probably thinking the same way. But if I don't do it, it feels like I'm snubbing. So the double kiss. I also came across one. This was about 5 or 6 years ago, And it came across the triple kiss.
What?
Which is also big in some countries in Europe. I don't know, it's Dutch or Danish or something. And it's always bad enough.
But wait. The triple cheek, where's the third one go?
It's cheek, cheek, cheek. It's not, I'm not upper, upper, lower. It's upper, upper, then you start with the left and you go back to it. I had no idea.
That's very strange.
It's bad enough when you're thinking, are we double kissing? Are we single kissing? So if you miss out, then you end up kissing someone full on the lips, and that's what you don't want to do. So you go for the, so I've gone for the double. I'm thinking, yeah, the continental, it's all going to be fine. Nice to see you, double kiss. They came back with triple. I've gone back in and kissed someone full in the ear. So it's a minefield.
Well,
so that's one good thing that COVID has brought up. We don't have to do any of that. We're not going to get ourselves into all this trouble.
Well, but here's the thing. I know what you're talking about, because the last time I interviewed Michael Caine, he slammed his tongue right down my throat trying to do a triple.
There
now I know what happened.
That's it.
All right. I don't remember in my trips to London to see you, I don't remember... Yeah. A lot of hugging going on. Hugging's very much a thing here. Everybody's hugging everybody. And most of the time it's fine. I'm a hugger. I like it. But was hugging a big thing before? Is it something you've missed?
Well, I think there is a fair bit of hugging. I think there's more hugging, but I also have trouble with the man hug. The man hug, which is a lean, isn't it? You've got to go in with one arm and you lean to one side. I lean to the wrong side, and then I find myself nose to nose with someone. I'm thinking, now I look like I'm going to kiss and pull in my lips again. I don't want any part of that again. Keep me away. I'm happy to just wave. I'm really, and trust me, I'm a very demonstrative person. I like to hug. That's fine, but it causes me too much problems, and I'm quite comfortable the way things are. The fact, oh, hey, how are you? You don't have to worry about the handshake. You don't have to worry about the kiss. You don't have to worry about the hug. Whereas now the hug is going to come back tenfold next week. And I don't think I'm completely prepared for it.
Well, and is there some sort of ceremony that will be going on with it? I mean, you know, I don't think the Queen will be involved because the royal family looks like they've never hugged.
They've never hugged. No, I don't think they've ever hugged. So much is made of the crown saying, oh, it's not true. Well, I believe everything I see. And I've never seen anybody in the crown hug at all.
Right.
You know when you get the huggers that are uncomfortable huggers? You know, like a proper hug, you can tell a creepy hug to a non-creepy hug. And that's those people, and sometimes you hug them, and then they're like, and you can feel, it's like, oh, it just feels, it's like shaking hands with someone with one of those really light, wet fish handshakes. It's
yeah, like, well, I mean, that's why we really need to point out that we're very lucky to be men, because this is much, much, much tougher and much more dangerous a minefield for women. And for clueless men who don't understand, when a woman goes to hug you and turns to the side, you're not even in the friend zone. You're in the I wish I wasn't hugging you zone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how do you feel? And I know this is, it's probably an unwritten law that we've learned, and when do you double kiss and when don't you? It's when nice to see you, or when do you give someone a female a kiss, friendly and nice to see you. Obviously, you've got to know that person very well. You can't just go in there.
Yeah, it's always awkward. It's always awkward.
And you think, what do I do? And so I think the law is you wait for them.
Yeah.
I was waiting like half an hour once, and there was nothing happening there. So, how are you? Is there anything you want to give to me?
I think the half hour, I think a half hour is a reasonable period of time. I think after 30 minutes, you've got to move on.
Yeah.
Now there's
30 minutes, and I'm thinking, we know each other pretty well now. It's been 30 minutes. Do I now get the double kiss or the triple in? And nothing was coming, so therefore, it's never going to happen. There's not going to be any relationship or any friendliness between it.
So the talk here is that maybe the handshake goes away. That maybe we shouldn't even be shaking hands anymore, because the incidence of flu, and obviously mask and social distancing was a big part of this as well. But the incidence of flu, there's almost no flu in this country in the last, year.
Yeah.
So there are positives that came out of it. But if it's not a handshake, now the handshake, as I understand it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but historically the handshake was a way to check if the person you were meeting had a hidden weapon, if they had something.
I think that's true.
If they had something in their hand. So how will I know if you have a weapon if I don't shake your hand? Because I don't trust you.
Well, I frisk people. So that's what I always found was the easiest way. I just pat them down. So all I'm doing is just saying, listen, trust me, this is going to be a handshake of the future. So that's all I'm doing. Honestly, I'm just going to pat you down. I don't like this. I'm really still not comfortable with the elbow or the fist pump. It just feels so
stupid,
fake and ridiculous. And I just can't deal with that. I'd rather not do anything. You know, is that what? So when you're greeting someone now, is it just like the fist thing or the
elbow?
Yeah,
it is that. But you know, what other types of greetings could we have? You know, you snap your fingers and point. Hey, how are you? If there's no physical contact, I don't know how you greet another person. I guess you just say, hey, yo, what's up? I don't know. Do you have an idea?
Yeah. I don't know. I remember, did I tell you the Stella McCartney story when I met Stella McCartney?
I don't think
Paul McCartney's daughter, I must have told you. Quite a few years, probably 20 years ago. I would drive into a gas station or a petrol station, as we call them. Anyway, as I drove in, and I lived very close to where Paul McCartney lived in St. John's Wood in London. So as I drove into the petrol station, I saw Stella McCartney, of course, daughter of Beatle and very famous fashion designer, looked uncomfortable. And she looked as if she was worried about something. And I'm thinking, that's Stella McCartney. Like, so at this point, I'm truly believing I could see, you know, my father-in-law, Paul, there, sitting around, chewing the fat, talking about the old day. I can see everything in the future because I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll go and help. So anyway, she looks at me and I'm saying, hey, everything okay? She goes, yeah, can you help me? Is there anything you can? And I said, yeah, of course. No, bro, yes, of course I can. It's no problem. So she said, I need you. What would you say? Would you call it to jumpstart your car?
Exactly. Yeah.
She said, look, my battery's flat. Could you give me a jumpstart? Yeah, absolutely. Of course I can. So anyway, then we stood there, and she's looking at me, and she's going, do you have jump leads in the car?
Oh, jumper cables.
Jumper cables. There you go. So I said, no, I don't have any. She went, hang on. I'll go off and get some. So anyway, at this point, I'm really in this world, just lost in this world and all over the place. So she comes back with these cables and says, there you go. All right, great. Then she looked me in the eye and she said, you don't know how to jump start a car, do you? And I went, no, I actually don't. And she went, so at this point, this is the true story. Paul McCartney's daughter says to me, do you call yourself a real man? This is what she said. And I've gone, very funny. So anyway, then she went to shake my hand to say goodbye because she could see what was in my eyes. And you know what I did? I waved. I actually stood up and waved. So where she's going to shake my hand, I've waved in front of her and gone, oh, my God, I'm waving. I'm so sorry. Nice to meet you. And that was it.
How do I not know this story? That's a tremendous story.
I can't believe you don't know the story. And off she went and found a real man, and that was it. So maybe she even still tells the story of the idiot in the gas station.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
Completely flummoxed in front of her.
Because very few people have accused me of being a mechanic. But how is it you've gotten to your age? What are you, 30? How have you gotten to your age without never jump-starting a car? Do English batteries last forever? How is that even possible? You've never had to do this.
I think I have had to do it once, but I probably put the wrong terminal on the wrong slip. And I really didn't want to set fire to a car because at the back of my mind was, this could be dangerous. I could end up killing myself and ruining a car, and that would be worse.
I think probably what I went through
was actually worse than actually trying to jumpstart a car. But it was a disaster. Absolutely.
Well, I think after she accuses you of not being a real man when you wave, that kind of topped it off nicely.
Yeah, I think so. I just want to have another go. Can I just try again? I was like, do you remember me? Can I jumpstart your car? Is there anything I can do? Maybe.
Well, look, actually, listen. Here's the cruel truth. If you jumpstart her car, she's not going to remember you because you're just a nice bloke who helped her. You know, you're just another guy. If you are the guy that doesn't know how to use jumper cables and waves, I guarantee you she's still telling that story.
Do you think she probably is? You know, there's all the stories about the Beatles and her mom and everything else and designing the whole kit for the 2012 Olympic team. And she'll tell the story. That one. Stella, tell us the story of that fall.
I guarantee you that at some point in your past, Stella McCartney sat down with Paul McCartney, a Beatle, maybe the most famous Beatle of all, and a tremendous, a tremendous guy, by the way, as you know. But sat down with Paul McCartney, and you were the topic of conversation when she told her father. When she told her father about the guy she met who didn't know how to use jumper cables and then waved.
Can you imagine? Ringo was probably around with Barbara, sitting there, and Stella comes in and goes, "Dad, Ringo, you never guess what happened." And Paul's going, "You know, he sounds like a great guy. You know, I think he should come around. He sounds fantastic." And you know, and they probably looked for me, but never found me. And here I am.
I bet I bet Paul said, "Get in the car," and they drove back to the gas station to thank you for at least being there in a moment of need. And they couldn't find you. You know what else I love about that story? I love the fact that she went in to buy jumper cables thinking you were going to help her, and she still had to find another guy.
I know, and she still had to find someone else. There was a song. You know, it's all making sense now, because there was a song called The Fall on the Hill, which originally called The Fall of the Gas Station. So I just wonder, is it possible? Okay, sure.
I have one more item for you, and obviously you're welcome to bring up anything as well, so we continue the check-in here with Paul Coy. But the Queen, how is she doing after Prince Philip passed? Is she adjusting to her new single life?
She is, but there's also another strange thing that I haven't come to terms with. And that's when you see the Queen is doing all these Zoom meetings. And I don't know whether you've seen that on TV over there, and she's doing all the duties that she normally would, but she's left there on Zoom. So you've got I can't work Zoom at the best of times, as you know. So there's her with about five people, and the thing is, she can't walk away or just like leave it, go, "Nice to see you." And this is the thing, the small talk is usually, you can do good, quick small talk and then move. But there's the Queen on there, and the funny thing is when you get the name underneath, it's got the Queen. So in her own login, you know, there was one I saw, it said Windsor Castle, I was like, "The Queen." that's who you are.
So that's who she is.
So when you're having your Zoom meeting and you think, "Oh, I can't remember," he's like, "Oh, there we are, it says at the bottom, the Queen." So that makes things very easy for everybody. So avoids any embarrassment whatsoever.
That is hysterical. Now, do we know if she is interested in dating again?
I think I'd give it just a little more time. I think it's just a little too soon.
Too soon?
Don't you?
Too soon?
Let's wait for the Huggins to be back next week.
I just wonder what her profile would be like and what site she might use, because there's got to be...
Oh, no.
If there's a dating site... No, if there's a dating site for royals... it's probably a limited group, right? I mean, it's not like she's going to go on Match.com. "Hey, I like a walk in the woods with my corgis." What is she supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, if you look how it goes, "Oh, this Prince Hendrik of Denmark, he looks handsome. How old is he?" 86. That sounds quite good. I don't know. Yeah, possibly. Hold on, there's a king in Tonga who's maybe that's how it works.
Well, look, as long as she's happy. And will Chuck ever get the hat?
Oh, is Chuck going to get the hat? Everybody wonders, is Chuck going to get the hat? He's probably thinking the same thing. We talked about this 30 years ago.
Yeah, we did.
Is Chuck going to get the hat? God, dear. Because that hat ain't going to last for long as soon as he gets the hat. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, yeah, because Charles is what? Is Charles 75? He's got to be 70.
He's up there. He's well into his 70s. I think he's quite 75 yet. But that hat there, that hat's going to fall off if he's not careful. Get that hat.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, your information, as always, has been crucial.
Thank you.
And important. I want everybody to listen to you on Talk Sport 2, but the morning starts off on Talk Sport 1. So if you're like me and you're up late at night, about 11 o'clock, just to get online and listen to Talk Sport 1, streaming the first hour of Paul's day, and then switch over to Talk Sport 2 at midnight, and you can hear another 3 hours.
It's on both. Just stay with Talk Sport 2. It's on both.
On both. Okay, so it's simulcast the first hour. Okay, so there you go. That's Talk Sport. And of course, your Tottenham Hotspurs, another disappointing season. You turn me into a fan. Yeah. Now I'm annoyed with them as well.
I'm sorry. It's my fault, and I really apologize.
I look forward to connecting again soon. And thank you very much for doing Live From My Office.
You are the best. You always are. Thank you very much.
If you're looking to purchase a new home to refinance your existing home, you need to do what I did. I called Team Hochberg, my trusted local lender. Oh, and you also need to meet Jack, 60 years old, a hotel executive, making $200,000 a year, living pretty well. The pandemic crushed the hotel industry, and Jack, like thousands of listeners, unfortunately lost his job. Jack was finalizing refinancing out of a construction loan when his lender declined his loan due to a lack of income. Jack was stressed out beyond belief, didn't know what to do, so he called Team Hochberg for a free consultation. Since Jack was of retirement age, Team Hochberg used his retirement assets to refinance his construction loan. So let me review here. When the pandemic hit, Jack lost his job and his lender declined his loan. Team Hochberg eliminated Jack's stress by using his retirement assets to refinance his construction loan. Team Hochberg helped me and thousands of my podcast listeners, like Jack, restructure loans after being turned down by others. But they can't help you if you don't call. 855-56-DAVID or go to 56david.com. Number again, it's 855-56-DAVID. That's 855-563-2843 or 56david.com. Homesite Financial is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1124061. Back on Live From My Office, and before I get to the charity worth mentioning, our episode charity of the week, I'll remind you, you can always tell me about a charity you'd like a free plug for at thecochranshow@gmail.com. I did ask folks, too, we got a bunch of emails about this, but I've only got time to get one of them in here, said, hey, what have you missed? What have you missed in the last year? Sure, it could be hugs, could be other things. And Terry writes, I've missed singing with my choir and enjoying live entertainment, but it's coming. And she mentioned that she hopes to see us for our New Year's Eve show. You know, we're working on some details now that could bring us back for stand-up comedy for New Year's Eve in what would be our 20th anniversary show, which was supposed to be this past New Year's Eve. But I don't know if you noticed, we were home. So thank you, Terry, for that. It's The Cochran Show again, thecochranshow@gmail.com. The charity of the week is one that is sort of a way of paying it forward for the good fortune we have of being in the greatest country on earth. It's SaveTheChildren.org. Around the world, there are children that suffer every day for any number of reasons. And now here we sit in the middle of the worst health crisis in all of our lifetimes. And while we appear to be at the end and in this reopening phase, as much of the mostly developed world, the Western world is, India is a mess. There are parts of the world that are beyond a mess. And Save the Children is out there to work those hard-to-reach places where it really can be toughest to be a child. If you donate $50, you can give enough food to keep three kids from going hungry for a month. $150 will get blankets for 30 kids in areas of conflict to keep them warm. $300 $300 is 150 face masks to refugee health workers on the front lines. It's all from Save the Children. There is nothing they won't do to help a child. And in India, a second COVID wave is threatening kids there right now. In Yemen, 6 years of war, and children continue to pay the highest price. We've got the border crisis here. It's not like we're not affected by this, but Save the Children working everywhere to literally save the children. SaveTheChildren.org. If you can help, I hope you will. Again, my name is Steve Cochran. Ross Cochran puts together this podcast. Thank you, Ross, as always, for putting together what I like to think is at least one of my top three favorite podcasts, and I hope it's one of yours. Again, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen, and thank you for listening. Dennis DeYoung will join me next week, as in this being May 14th. So next week on my calendar, I don't know when you're hearing it, so next week on my calendar, Dennis DeYoung will be live on the show talking about his final album, his final studio album. How about that? great Dennis DeYoung, coming up as just one of our guests on Live From My Office. Thanks for listening.
30 years plus on the airwaves, you have turned your dial to me. Now you're tuned into my podcast. It's Live From My Office, Steve. From Ithaca, New York, to Carolina South, W. Cochran, Steve. From Minneapolis, and then Chicago twice, top-rated shows achieved. Sit back, relax, and now listen to my show. When or wherever you are, 'cause you're on the go. A-list celebs with some laughs and great info. Live from my office, the Steve Cochran Podcast Show.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No better place to be.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Subscribe and like for free. Live from my office, Steve.
So glad you're with me. It's Live From My Office, Steve.
Thank you for listening to Live From My Office, a service of Monkey Run Productions. All rights reserved. The podcast is hosted by Steve Cochran, and it's mixed, edited, and produced by me, Ross Cochran. Support the show by subscribing wherever you're listening and by telling your friends about it. Follow Steve on all social media channels, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And make sure you check out this episode's show notes for relevant information discussed during the conversations. You can also email the show directly at thecochranshow@gmail.com with any questions or comments. And that's the best place to tell us about your favorite nonprofit so we can make sure we mention them on the next episode. Steve is available for corporate speaking gigs. He would love to MC your event. And occasionally, he's funny. Thank you for listening. Head to CochranShow.com for more.